Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody, to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we're going to put a fun spotlight on the Southwest today. In studio with me is a regular, and we were laughing before the show started because maybe we feel a little bit too comfortable. I'm speaking for myself because we're going to really jam this half hour with fun and good information and things that matter to the environment. But my guest is Stacy Spink. She is the president and CEO of EDG Fuels, Inc. And EDG Fuels is an environmental recycling and facilities maintenance company that is a national company based in Tucson, Arizona, with offices in Tucson, Arizona, Silver City, New Mexico, and you provide services in many other places. Stacy, it's so nice to have you here.
It's good to be here. I never get to see you unless I'm here.
I know, it makes me really sad, and we do run in some of the same circles, but it was a very, it's a delightful day to wake up and to know that someone that I enjoy so much is going to be on the show, and
I just wanted
to tell you that. Okay, so let's really talk about we will do some content in here. We have been threatening for almost 2 years to do an all-night radio talk show rant in our pajamas. But since this is a down-to-earth with Mrs. Green, let's get down to a little bit of business. Why don't we start with an award that you just won? Because I think that's wonderful. Your company does great work. Tell a little bit about what your company does, what the business model is changing to, and what the award was for. That's three questions, but I can remember them.
Okay. So our focus has really changed. The last time I was here, we've always been a commercial contractor, doing repairs, remodels, that type of thing, and big box retail stores. But within the last year, we really took a look at our business and really where sustainable living was going, to not just do something good for the earth, but also say, where's the profit at?
Really sustainable. That's a really good thing to look at.
It is. From many standpoints. And because we already had a handle on this market, which is kind of funny that we don't have a stronghold in our own region, but we're all over the nation doing these things. I really just started getting back to basics and going out into the local community and talking to people about liquid waste. So it's not just the yellow grease and the frying oil. It's also brown grease that ends up in a grease trap under the sink because, you know, that dishwasher is there washing the dishes.
Right.
So, and what we've decided is we're taking that waste and basically renewing and recycling it, whether it's biodiesel or it's going to the shampoo factory or there's many different things that can be done with it. But that's really what the evolution at EDG Fuels was. We did have a biodiesel plant that we were operating, and, you know, the focus now is that not to be in biodiesel. We basically have partners that manufacture biodiesel now because you just can't do it all. That's one of the things we learned. I mean, and everybody knows that. It just takes a while for it to sink in with us because we're so passionate about what we do. And that's really also what the award was about. And I'm really proud of that. For the mere fact that we were nominated by a former employee that left our employment basically to start their own business. And, you know, that was really, to me, was a big pat on the back.
And let's talk about what the award. I mean, it's the Minority and Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona. And it recognizes, this is what this award is all about. Each year it recognizes businesses for their success and their service to the community. So a panel of judges sits down and picks it and looks at it, and you were chosen as recognized for business and environmental leadership in Pima County. That is an honor because of your passion. It's when someone else, a third party, sees all your hard work and recognizes it and toots another horn.
Yeah, it's a complete surprise. I got a call one day in my office from someone who said, guess what? You're Environmental Firm of the Year for, you know, Southwest Arizona. So that was a great a great thing. And I believe that it was twofold, really. I mean, yes, we're an environmental company, but I believe that the reason why we were chosen, and I think they probably put us in that little, in that envelope, is because they liked the things that we did as a company for our employees. So we were recognized for, and this is kind of funny because we've always practiced this, you know, our jammy day, you know, on yes. Valentine's Day.
It's fun to work there.
Yeah. And, you know, being flexible in schedules with employees so they can, you know, get their college degree and, you know, all those like
and
little things.
And doing charitable projects with them.
Right.
And letting them have paid time off to go and help in charitable. I mean,
which
that's
we're
one of the
still
shows
doing.
We had.
I mean, we still do that all the time. So
that's corporate leadership. It is. Yeah. It really is. Do you buy food for them too? Once in a while? Do you bring in lunch?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. See that? Yeah. That always
and
matters
I don't know. I guess
too.
It was a surprise, but it was a surprise to me that that's so outside the box. But when the MC was reading, you know, giving me the award that night, that was one of the things that they really highlighted. He was saying that maybe he needed to quit his day job and come work for us because he had never had any of these benefits. And so I don't know.
So it's an all around honor. But let's get back to the environmental impact piece, because that is what ignites you. And I understand the diversity of your ideas, because that's what happens when you're an entrepreneur. You want to do all these different things. And as the business evolves, if you do, which you have, it hones down into what is my core business or what are my core businesses and the leadership I'm going to provide. So articulate a little more for people who might not understand. You are collecting liquids now. Mm-hmm. Brown grease from awful, awful grease traps that I never want to see for my whole entire life. And you're taking fat grease from fryers and restaurants, commercial ventures. Okay. And then what are you doing with it?
Well, we store it. And then when we collect a certain amount, there's partners out there that we do business with.
That want it.
They want the waste. And really... it's the model is like so basic, but you know, we collect it and someone is paying us to collect it and provide that service. And then on the other side, somebody is paying us to recycle and renew it.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And when I started really thinking about exactly where we were using our resources, it didn't make any sense to really put the commercial contracting side out there because it was so successful in the liquid waste end. So now we go back around the other way. So we provide the liquid waste services, but we go to a restaurant or a hotel and, you know, basically they say our pipes are clogged up because, you know, we have a dishwasher that's worked here for 10 years and they just keep throwing grease down the drain. We provide that service as well. So we go out and we work on their plumbing, their lift station.
Wow.
So it comes back the other way.
Okay, so it's the grease circles round. Now, what about, didn't you participate in the after Turkey Day grease collection, which I'm never in town for and would actually love to be a part of, because some of the most fun you and I ever had is when we did that bacon grease collection.
That is true, yes.
Like a long time ago. It's still on all my YouTube video clips because we had so much fun. Mrs. Green, who doesn't eat bacon anymore, there's a point, throws the bacon grease into this vat of fat, basically. So how did that go? Did you participate or did your team?
My team did. I stopped in for a quick hour just to check in, you know, see how things were going. I want to say that they collected over 1,000 gallons. I'm really hoping we're going to do our after event meeting. I really want to build, we have our own Midtown station, and O'Reilly Chevrolet was actually the first area or the first spot in Tucson, Arizona that provided this when they were doing the after
right.
Thanksgiving Day
right.
collection. I'd really like to see us work on our place, the location that we're at in Midtown, because I don't think that we get as much traffic as we should. And I really want to work on that next year. And so we have a whole year
okay,
to work
on
it.
Okay, so the location for the grease collection that you're assigned to.
Right.
Okay,
correct.
Okay. It's really hard. I mean, it's the day after Thanksgiving and to get people to remember to do that. But it sounds like it's
right
so
down
much
by
fun.
The University of Arizona, though.
Okay.
So, and there's all kinds of sporting events that are going on down there.
Right.
So I've got to figure out a way to really get that word out there because we should really be collecting more than we do.
Now, what about clients like the University of Arizona? They have a lot of cooking going on there. They have a ton of restaurants.
They do.
Do they have it? I mean, I know it's everybody wants to get into the U of A. Is that one of the partners that you'd like to have or that you already have?
I would like to have the University of Arizona.
Let's put it out there right here on Down to Earth with Mrs. Green.
They actually have their own biodiesel plant.
Oh, that's right.
So what they
that's
do right. is they collect it there.
I forgot.
Mm-hmm. And so that's
wonderful.
That's what they're
too.
Doing with it. But I mean, there's other things at the university that, you know, lend itself to doing business with us, like the Compost Cats. You know, we contact them when we have events. And that's also something that goes along with the liquid waste focus that we're taking, is that we're starting to get some educational materials out there so we can go into the schools and talk to, you know, elementary school children, middle school children about grease. So we're developing, I know that you probably remember Freddie Flame from EDG Fuels. Well, Freddie Flame now has a cousin and his name is, we don't know yet. But he's basically a concept
TBA.
That's like to be announced. Yes.
Make it a she.
Oh, good idea.
Make it a she.
And it happened here on Mrs. Green.
Yes.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah. It would be. It could be.
So anyway, so we're working on that right now.
Freddie is his name? And Wilma, no pun there on the Flintstones. I get more original than that.
Oh.
But okay. So. And that'll be an education program. Why is saving grease from going into traps and drains and on something that consumers who are listening to this show should be so aware of? I don't think you can say it too much because I get new listeners all the time and I know the reason, but I was raised to never throw grease down the drain. It was from my very penurious mother who was very careful. She was a early environmentalist, as most of our parents were, waste not, want not. So why is it bad?
Well, because
why can't you just throw it down the drain?
Well, because it ends up clogging the pipes. And even if you, put hot water and soap down the pipes with it, which I think that's a big fallacy. People think, okay, I'm going to run my hot water and then just put it down there. Well, it eventually
breaks it down.
Yeah, it eventually clogs somewhere down the road. So.
Because it gets cold and it separates. Even I know that
yeah,
much
so
chemistry.
Unless that hot water is going to be following it miles down the pipe, you may not be clogging your own plumbing, but you're clogging the sewer at some point. And so that's why it's so important. The average cost when, say, for instance, a consumer in their house is throwing that grease down the sink, the average cost is $3,000. For a plug in a residential home. Now think about that. If it's going down to a lift station or a sewer or something like that, I mean, it's probably tenfold, I would imagine.
And when Colleen Crown and Shield was on several weeks ago to talk about Recycle Day, I mean, I didn't get it. I didn't get it, that it can cause your sewer to back up, your pipes in your sewer. And like, that's really disgusting. If that's not an
right.
incentive for everybody listening to this show to not throw it down your drain. And, you know, people that live in apartments need to care because we all pay taxes. So no matter where you live, even if it's not your own house, just keep it in a can. And then what? Do they have to wait until that's
no,
always
they can
the
bring
thing.
It to us anytime. So we have a 24/7 collection center. So it can be brought there. And actually, there was some people that last year they came and saw us at the After Thanksgiving Day event, and they dropped it off early in November. They were at our door, and
I
walked in. And
who's there?
He
Your
did.
Grease.
He brought this one guy brings a can and says, "I've been saving it all year." And I said, "You don't have to save it all year. You can come here anytime you want to drop it off." But
how great
I
is
that? That was pretty cool.
You know, that's pretty. That's probably high up on my scale of environmentalists. Now let's talk a little bit about. I want to finish the conversation about. I took a tour of that magnificent biodiesel structure you had. It's a very complicated process. I mean, you don't just cook it and then it goes. You know, you take the oil and here it is for biodiesel. The chemical processes is what I mean, the process to make it into a usable fuel. What are you doing with that big piece of magnificent equipment? Are other enterprises using it? Is it being used? Is there a plan for it to be used?
What is going to happen, and I just went through this last week, I have somebody that is experienced in the liquid waste business, and he has built the facility that I have down on Eisenhower in Tucson is I think it's about a decade old. Well, the person that I actually bought that property and that plant from, it's actually the oldest wastewater treatment plant in Tucson. I bet you didn't know that. In Pima County.
I did not know that.
So yeah, it was originally Tucson Sewer and Drain. And it started in 1946.
Had no idea.
Get that. So yeah. And so all these other wastewater treatment plants actually came after the one that I have. So, we were looking at that last week and, you know, basically he went out there and looked at it and he said, do you know that some of these pieces that you have in the biodiesel plant will actually amp up your wastewater treatment plant? So, he's coming back after the first of the year and we're going to talk about how we can do that, and do that, you know, keeping the value in that plant, because there are some pieces that if I decided to sell it at a later time, I could. But there's definitely some pieces in there that we'll use to build the business.
You know, it's really emerging. And I was talking to you a little bit off air. An upcoming guest this Saturday is the director of communications for Chipotle. And it's going to be a fabulous show. And some of the very things that you're talking about, they care. I mean, it's another thing. And what is germane to this conversation is, he said since they started, and they're 20 years old, I believe, that the market in the past 3 to 5 years has changed so much in terms of people asking for organic food. He said, we used to like kind of minimize that because it scared people away. People weren't ready. What's organic food? And GMO free? What is that? What was in that anyway? And cruelty free and antibiotic free. So the market, hopefully for you, is shifting, because who would have thought of selling liquid waste 5 years ago? I'm sure they were, but there's a shifting consciousness that I feel, and you're going to be at the head of that.
Well, and you know, from having me here many times, I mean, I want to do something that's great for the environment, but I'm about the profit too. I mean, that's just...
It's one of the things I love about you.
And that's why people need to, you know, we can do both. It's a win-win. And businesses aren't in business, you know, they're in business to make a profit, you know.
It's the triple bottom line that is written about a lot in the sustainability world. It's the green trifecta, because if you do that, you make money and all of those pieces are in place and the planet wins, it's a win-win-win. So yeah, I think the green trifecta. Even people now are talking about the shifts in investments. There's a major shift in investment funds for ones that have sustainable practices and won't buy from companies that engage in X practices and on and on. So I love to see the shift that's happening.
Well, and it's doable. I mean, it's so easy to do. So why not do it?
How did you get headed in this direction?
Oh, that's a whole different show. No.
Tell us a little bit.
Let me think.
We'll
how did I
another
get
show.
In liquid waste?
Yes. What made you decide to shift? I mean,
because
you're an entrepreneur and a thought leader.
It was so easy. It was really, I mean, honestly, I guess because I'm a people person, and when I went out into the field and could finally get out there and find the time and talk to people, it was something that it was like this light bulb went on and they were like, yeah, well, what are we doing with it? And yes, we are paying for that service, but what are they doing with it at the end of the day?
I love that. Where is it going?
They didn't know about it. And then an advantage I have, because there aren't very many women in liquid waste, they're like, hey, come in and talk to me, because I want to know what it is about this industry that interested you. And really, it just fell in my lap. But, you know, I think that, you know, it's just a no-brainer. It's like,
let's just embarrass you on the air. For those of you that haven't seen a picture of Stacy, she is a very, very attractive, from the inside out, gorgeous blonde. So I'm sure they asked you to come in and tell me about their solid waste.
Well, like, hey, whatever works, right?
It's a great door opener. And look at you are here as a stand for the environment. And that's what I know about you is absolutely authentically true. Talk about being a woman in this business. And overall, like when you were on maybe 6 months to a year ago, maybe, I mean, it could have been 2 years ago, because time flies when you're having fun in Mrs. Green's world, where you were training people how to submit successful contracts to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And as a woman, is it an advantage or a disadvantage or both? There's some people have like, what does she know? This is really a very complicated field with all kinds of things.
I'm sure people think that it's a disadvantage, but I have never come from that perspective.
You have
so,
never. I can attest
yeah,
to that.
Yeah. When people talk to me about that, I don't even see that. So I mean, I'm sorry if people think that they're disadvantaged because they're a minority in any sense. So, but I choose not to look at that side.
It's the way you walk into the room, which is with a message and a passion and a commitment to what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's
so,
what people see.
I mean, I'm here and I have something to say and, you know, I think people listen most of the time.
Yeah. And they're either going to like it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And most of the time the feedback is really positive. And I came from a sales marketing, position many, many years ago. And I do know that I just like connecting with people and I love to sit there and talk to somebody about something that I think is so easy and have them go, wow, that works for me, you know?
And I want to ask you about, this is a big focus for me right now, about sustainability from the inside out. You know that Chapman is a big supporter of Mrs. Green's World, and we have really done great things with Chapman to change and make them more sustainable, greener. We never say the green team, we say the going green team. They have huge car dealerships, vast amount of properties and space, but they're moving in a greener direction, which matters. For your company, do you care about things like what type of soap you're using, the disinfectant, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but it's a really valid question about if you're having water bottles or people using their reusable bottles. And how much do you think that matters? Because you are a leader, a thought leader, and a visionary. To be walking the walk inside the company as well. I know there's the charitable giving piece, which really matters, but what about that authentic, everything I do makes either a better impact on the planet or harms it in some way? And that's not an exaggeration. Pretty much almost everything you do is either going to move us forward or keep us at the same or move us a little back.
I think that the focus for myself, and I mean the culture in our company and my world in general, is that, you know, every little bit helps.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, this is kind of a ridiculous example, but, you know, when we moved into a new building a couple of years ago, what we did is we put those hand dryers in, you know.
Well, that does really
because
matter
that gets,
a lot.
Yeah.
Why aren't they
and
everywhere?
I think that the employees thought I was crazy because, I mean, we don't have bottled water. A lot of people, especially in Arizona, because it's so hot, they want to keep that bottled water all the time. We have like one of those dispensers that's hooked. Actually, I think that you probably hooked us up with them at some point.
And why don't people want that? I mean, Chapman's done a lot of those same things where they give their staff reusable bottles, and it's a car industry, but they are getting more and more water stations so that people who bring them to work and customers who come in can use it.
Right. So we do a lot of those little things. And I lived in a small rural community for many years, so over a decade. And, you know, that was really, I guess, the introduction to being environmentally minded, because when you're out in that rural community, you can really see the effects. I mean, of people, they still landfill a lot of things out there. So I know that, you know, when my office in Silver City, New Mexico, we always talk about, you know, what we can do to basically not just throw things into the earth.
And you're an example, and it flies in the face of what is the stereotype. To me, your company is about profit. Every company should be. Even nonprofits should be about profit, if you ask me. Like, what should I be, a nonprofit losing money? You care about giving back to the community. Why? Why do you care? Why do you think it's important to go donate your stuff to Goodwill? Because you're about profit, but you're also going to go and go to Casa de la Luz and make joy for people on that day in terms of your core values, which is where it starts. Pace of the leader, pace of the team.
And so what was the question? That all sounded
why
great.
Why is it so important to give back?
Oh, gosh, I guess it's just ingrained in me. I don't even think of it like that, honestly. I don't think that, you know, we're going here and we're going to do, you know, a pay it forward. It's more about what I get from that. I actually, you know,
that's a great answer.
And you know,
if you do it, you really feel good.
Yeah. And you know that we started that program because the company was going through some tumultuous times. And so, you know, that was my rebound for myself personally.
Right.
I said, listen, things are not the best that they could be right now. This is what we're doing. I'm taking everybody out and I'm paying you all to go. We're going to go do this event. That's what we're doing. And then it kind of caught It was a fever. Like, people ask me now, we got to November and they're like, why haven't we lined out what we're doing for Pay It Forward? And I was like, I just haven't gotten to that.
I've been really busy.
Yeah. And they'll say, I'll volunteer. I'll get that together. So we're doing an event at a domestic shelter, abuse shelter, next week in Silver City. So, and I don't even have to put them together anymore. They come to me and tell me what they want to do.
That's when you know it's become the corporate culture, not something the boss said.
Well, I mean, it matters a lot. I think that they need that. I think that they need that. Some people do, just like I did at that time. So I always notice that it's the people that are having the most trouble in their personal or professional life that want to step outside that box. And maybe they got that from me, I don't know, a couple of years ago, but I needed that too at that time. Let's do something good, something that's going to change. And then you sit there and you look at the situations other people are in.
And you start your gratitude list.
Yeah. And then I start feeling bad and saying, wow, I mean,
what was I sad about? I forget.
Yeah.
It's so true. The rewards come back 100-fold. Okay. When we are sitting here a year from now, at the end of 2014, which will seem like a blink of an eye, what would you like to be able to talk about that you've accomplished with your company overall in terms of shifting to the whole liquid environment? I love that. What are some of your dreams that you'd like to accomplish in 2014? Because I know you have them. You're probably thinking 15, 16, 17. What would you like to, some of the things you'd like to see happen for EDG?
I would like to see us really get a corner on our home, you
markets.
Know, in our hometown,
yes.
Our home state. We're really, and that's one of the things that I think I haven't been as happy with, is that we always go and do these things out in New York and Pennsylvania, but we haven't been able to really bring them home. And that's what I've been out in the field talking
awesome.
To a lot of these restaurants and hotels about, is we developed, with the help of an engineer, developed, I have, for lack of a better word, it's an industrial shop vac that's basically all enclosed. And we developed it because we were doing a lot of grease trap cleaning in New York and Pennsylvania, where they have small areas where the, you know, the older downtowns, the restaurants
right.
aren't
oh
as big.
Gosh.
We can actually bring this in and clean their grease traps out, with this portable industrial shop vac. So I'm bringing that technology here to Tucson. And it's kind of funny because at the beginning it was like on a trailer with, you know, I mean, it was just pretty ramshackle. I mean, I'm not saying that we were doing anything illegal, but I mean, we put this together on a whim. I'm like, find this machine. If a shop vac doesn't work, we want to figure out exactly what does, because, you know, it was basically there. We were putting grease on some of the equipment in the kitchen. So we developed this with Luis Felix.
Luis, how is Luis?
He's fine. He's in Sweden.
Yes, yes.
So I talk to him very often. And so basically we're bringing that to our hometown market. And when people see what it is, they're like, why doesn't anybody else have this? I have no idea. I mean,
and
we just decided this is
what keep hoping EDG just keeps being the one that has it.
Yes.
Because
who knows? Maybe it's a patent idea.
It sounds to me like it has to be a patent idea. So if people want to learn more about you, tell us about what your website is. They can bring grease to you during business hours.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome to another new paradigm of EDG. And congratulations on your award, and tell everybody I said hello. I mean, I'm going to fill it all in. So tell me about what your website is and how can people best connect with you?
Well, in the local market, Tucson, Arizona, we're down south of Raytheon, which is on the corner of Hughes Access and Nogales Highway. That's where our 24/7 collection area is. Our website is being redone after the first of the year. So if you do a hit on us right now, it says we're under construction. It's www.edgegroup.us, Edge Group.
Okay. Okay. That's good. I like that, cutting edge, because you're always on the edge. Oh my God. Even including fashion. Everybody, if you didn't have fun, I'm really sorry, because we did. And I hope you did. Being a part of just listening into our conversation, Stacy Spink is the president and CEO of EDG Group. We might be calling it Edge Group now. And thank you for being here. Thanks for what you do for
thank
the planet.
You.
And people, you want to tune in Saturday. Chris Arnold, who is the communications director for Chipotle. Talk about planet shifters. I had no idea. So make it a great green week. Stay sane over these holidays and become a part of Mrs. Green's worlds, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Thanks, everybody.